Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Lauren Gunn. She is the co-host of the Objective Basketball and the Gunshot Podcast. The Objective Basketball Podcast highlights the latest information in the NBA. And with the Gunshot Podcast, Lauren, along with her brother Grant, give you the latest Dallas Mavericks content as well as information regarding the NBA small market teams. Lauren is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
Here's Lawson. He'll fire to tie the game. No. Neal Aquina tried to save it. White to tie it. No. And the Bulls
go home. Let's go home. The Bulls win. The Bulls win. John Hall saved the Chicago. Beat, beat. What an exciting game. Hey, listen, on the real, exciting game.
Sure
exciting
was.
Game. These kids, hey, they could have folded. They could have folded. The biggest lead, Dallas had a 15-point lead. The Bulls could have folded. The guys could have rolled over. They did. Great effort by these young kids, man. What a fun game to call tonight.
The Dallas Mavericks officially eliminated from play-in contention.
The Dallas Mavericks are an absolute mess. Let's say what it is, and I feel very bad saying that because I love me some Mark Cuban. And I respect the hell out of Nico Harrison, who I've known for years. It's an absolute mess.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the report. I don't know who. Somebody said that I was going to retract the trade. It was funny, you know, because I didn't know that was true. Cause I didn't say it. I know. I don't know. Sources said it. Yeah, I mean, that's normal.
Right.
I mean, something's got to change, you know, for sure. I mean, last year when we went to Western Conference Finals, we were having fun. I always talk about the chemistry we had. It was great. But something's got to change for sure. We'll see about it. I don't want to talk to the media about it.
Wow. Welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio is courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago, also ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and the Dallas Mavericks. Wow. The Dallas Mavericks had a chance to qualify for the play-in tournament. It did not happen. And there was a headline back in the day from the show Dallas, who shot JR? Well, here's another question. What happened in Big D? Kyrie, Luka, Mark Cuban? So many questions. We're hoping to get some answers to some of these burning questions as we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the co-host of the Objective Basketball Podcast and also co-host of the Gunshot Podcast. Again, doing great work covering the NBA and, of course, covering her beloved Dallas Mavericks. Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Gunn. Hey, Lauren, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Ed, thank you so much for having me back. It's good to be chatting. Unfortunate circumstances for Dallas basketball fans, but thank you so much for having me back.
You're welcome, and thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So I mentioned the headline earlier, Lauren. Who shot JR? Well, I want to come up with another headline. What the heck happened in the Big D? There's so much to get to, so let's jump right to it. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were the biggest fishes that were caught out of the pond in the trade deadline this year. We've seen what Kevin Durant has done in such a short amount of time with Phoenix. The Suns are in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving, Say what you want about him. Very unique. But, hey, he's box office talent, and he goes to the Dallas Mavericks. What were your thoughts when you found out that the Mavericks had acquired Kyrie at the trade deadline?
Yeah. Well, you know, when it happened, I was shocked. I was a little surprised that they actually were the ones that were able to get that deal done with Kyrie, especially with there being, at that time, at least more than one suitors. There were a lot of connections with the Lakers of if they were going to be able to pull that off, what they were willing to do. Obviously, they went a different direction. But for Dallas individually, when they made that move, as crazy as it was, as shocking as it was to see them move on from someone as beloved as Dorian Finney-Smith, considering what he meant to the team, the community, everything, to see them move on from him was shocking. But when you kind of take a step back and you're looking at this Dallas team that was already underperforming for the year, when you're looking in the short term and in the long term, you're kind of saying, well, is this roster really in a place to, is it reasonable to expect them to go the distance? Or maybe you make a move here and there, or you hope that you're in a position to trade for another star to add them to this group without taking too much away. You're asking yourself all of these questions, and it's like, is there a real path to try and bring in a second star in the near future? Or is it more likely that we're going to get outbid by a team that has a young star or a treasure trove of picks, because Dallas didn't have any of those things? And so for them to go out and take the gamble on Kyrie, it's still very much in the air if it is, in fact, going to be a gamble. I mean, there's a very legitimate possibility that he walks. I personally, as of right now, I don't think that that is going to be the case, given the way some things have shaken out. But it is a possibility that he walks and they're left with nothing. And that is a nightmare scenario. But for Dallas at that time, and even now, I do think it's a move that you still make, because they weren't realistically going to take significant steps forward, and they were just going to be sitting there waiting for the right opportunity and the right blend of factors to get a deal done to help them. And that scenario just it's not a surefire thing. So when this Kyrie opportunity comes along to help give him an opportunity to start fresh, when you're looking at solely a basketball perspective, it is something that you at least have to seriously entertain. So when they went out and made that deal, as much as I love Dorian Finney-Smith, and as much as there are things that I think that he brings to the table that are not easy to find, something that is easy to find is guys that are guys that play defense. And so you can always go out and you can always go get those guys on even bargain deals sometimes. But the level and the play that Kyrie Irving brings to the table is not something that's easy to find. And so for Dallas, I think the opportunity to take a risky gamble when it was right there and you had the pieces to get it done, I think it was something that they just could not afford to overlook. And given the fact that Luka signed off on it himself, I don't think that that's something that they could just say, actually, yeah, no thanks, we changed our mind about. So I think it was the right move. Even if he ends up leaving, I still think, you know, they were just going to be in this perpetual state of mediocrity unless they switch something up, and that's what they did. So we'll see if it works out.
I'm like you on this one, Lauren. When I saw that the Mavericks acquired Kyrie at the trade deadline, I was like, in the short term, this could be huge. In the long term, I don't know, because, again, with the departures of Dorian Finney-Smith and also, of course, Spencer Dinwiddie, they made big differences for the Mavericks. And it was only a year ago, hard to believe, that the Mavericks played in the Western Conference Finals. I want to get to Dorian and Spencer in just a little bit, but I want to stay with Kyrie for a moment. So the short amount of time that Kyrie has been in Dallas, coming over from Brooklyn at the trade deadline, has he had an opportunity to experience the city of Dallas? Has he had an opportunity to kind of get into the community, him and maybe some of his family members, or has it been strictly basketball for him?
I think with Kyrie, there's always going to be more than basketball in terms of, you know, having his people with him, having his family, and he's made it very clear that for him, the way he goes about his day-to-day is not just wake up, basketball, go to sleep, dream about basketball. He's made it very clear that for him, this, there's more to it. He's got his people, he's got things that he, you know, stands for, and those are all his personal choices. But to him, there's always more going on than basketball. And so for Kyrie, I don't know that there's necessarily been enough time for him to really see the city of Dallas. He has made comments publicly about enjoying being here and enjoying the environment. But I don't think he's necessarily had enough time to really live through the ups and downs here in Dallas when it comes to Mavericks basketball. I hope that he does, re-sign here and see what him and Luka can do together, especially, and I'm sure we'll get to this in a little bit, especially when things open up in terms of Dallas having more avenues to add players that can help them round out a potential playoff contending roster. I think once that kind of comes into play and they're a little bit more steady, I think going through an offseason, coming back in, going through training camp, and just having those conversations even with guys like Luka, Mark, Jason Kidd over the summer, I think those are all things that are going to help him feel more settled and even more at home. But so far, I think the relationship that's building between Luka and Kyrie is a good one. They seem to be very fond of each other. And so those are all good signs for Mavs fans, and just kind of looking at this situation. Obviously, there are a lot of things that they need to address and they need to get sorted out. But when it comes to Luka and Kyrie, they are the least of everybody's problems here in Dallas.
Wow, very interesting about that. We're going to get more into Luka and Kyrie in just a little bit. But I want to talk about Luka Doncic. So, again, hard to believe, again, it was only a year ago that the Mavericks were playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors. We know Luka has battled his injuries this year. We know that overall it hasn't been his best season in terms of being healthy. I mean, hey, it is Luka. I mean, he's going to do what he can to try to be healthy. Overall, how would you rate his 2022-2023 season?
God, that's a great question. That is a really great question, because as many times as he has played at an incredible level, I have also seen examples, I should say, of times where I felt he could have been better from a leadership perspective, from a maturity perspective. That's just how I felt as I'm watching this, especially when you're watching other guys out there, how they handle their business, how they talk about the game, how they talk about leading their team and their roles on teams. So in terms of how I thought he individually was this season, I think he did everything that you could have possibly asked him to do. But there's still always room for improvement, right? You can't sit here and necessarily blame the whole season on him, even though maybe some people will say he's doing things wrong or whatever. But personally with him, I think he did everything that you've asked him to do, but that there's still room for improvement. That's probably how I'd categorize it.
All right, fair enough. And then we'll get to Luka and Kyrie in just a moment. I want to talk about head coach Jason Kidd for a moment. I mean, listen, it's hard to, again, a year ago they were playing in the Western Conference Finals, and the future looked bright for the Mavericks and what Coach Kidd could do and to take things to the next level. Well, the trade deadline happens, Kyrie comes over to Dallas, and then you've got Finney Smith as well as Dinwiddie and, of course, Jalen Brunson leaving, and he's had to deal with a lot, especially towards the end of the season. Give me your take on Jason and his season.
Yeah, Jason Kidd or Jalen Brunson? I might have misunderstood you.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, I got you. Sorry. With Jason, I have been very vocal about it on social media. I have been very disappointed this season. There have been multiple instances, whether it be lineup changes, in-game adjustments, coaching play calls, last-minute scenarios where you have to draw up a play for either a game-tying bucket, a game-winning bucket, whatever the case may be, and every single scenario I felt has been handled quite poorly. And I think most people that are watching the Mavericks on a, maybe not every single game, but multiple games, I think you'll have a lot of people that would say, well, why are we doing that? Or why is this guy playing over that guy? And I don't want to say that those are all decisions that are solely in the control of Jason Kidd. I think there are always, external factors, pressures, and those are conversations that are way above my pay grade. But I do think that there were a lot of obvious decisions, especially early on in the season when it came to starting JaVale McGee, which I know was promised to him in free agency, which is another problem. But whether it be starting JaVale McGee, not starting Christian Wood, not playing Jaden Hardy, there were multiple decisions night in and night out that were raised into question. And then when they get even – they become so obvious that you've got the media asking him about what goes into his decisions and why he's maybe doing this over this. And his responses to those questions were not one that either as a fan or I would even imagine as a player that you would be too pleased with. And so I have been disappointed in him this season. Last season, obviously, you mentioned they made it to the Western Conference Finals. Jalen Brunson had a breakout year. There were a lot of things going right for them last year. But this year, all of the things that you were kind of hoping for with Coach Kidd, whether it be Josh Green kind of taking steps forward, Jaden Hardy getting his opportunity. I mean, the thing with Jason Kidd that so many people talk about is, okay, he empowers these young players. We saw some of the things that he did with Giannis back in his Milwaukee days and how he's talked about wanting to come in and help Luka and how he helped Jalen Brunson and all of these things he absolutely deserves credit for. But then when the thing that he's probably best known for is empowering players and not at all coming up with, competent schemes from a schematic standpoint, when that's what you're most known for and you're not even playing the young guys or you're clearly picking the wrong rotation, it's very, very frustrating. And I imagine it was very frustrating for the players. It's something that I continue to scratch my head about, but from everything going on right now, I have to assume that I'm going to continue to be scratching my head because it doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
All right. And, you know, Sumpy scratched his head on a lot, especially since the trade deadline happened, is the duo of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. I know that from Luka and Kyrie, their playing styles are very similar. They both have type A personalities. They've always been number one guys. Well, Luka's been the number one guy since he's been in Dallas. Kyrie was a part of a duo in Cleveland with LeBron for a while. And then when he got to Boston, he was the number one guy. And then when he got to Brooklyn, he was a part of a trio. That didn't work out. But Luka and Kyrie, they're both type A personalities. They're both ball dominant, and they both have the ball in their hands. What's it been like since Kyrie's arrived in Dallas, Lauren, that as far as adjusting to their playing styles, what was the adjustment like? I know that it wasn't something that happened overnight, but it's been a lot of adjustments. What's been the adjustments like with Luka and Kyrie having to adapt to one another's playing styles?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that they probably have both had to take a little bit of getting used to is just playing at the other's speed. I think there have been times where we've seen Kyrie come in, especially in the first couple of games where he showed up and Luka was out, and he got different groups playing with pace. He had them getting out in transition and running. Josh Green had a couple of big games there because he was maximizing and benefiting from a system that was playing with pace and getting out and moving. And I think on the flip side, you've got Kyrie, who, like you mentioned, when he used to play with someone like LeBron, and I think Luka, I think there are similarities there in terms of how Kyrie has to play next to someone like a LeBron or like a Luka. I think he's finding himself in similar positions there. I think that Kyrie has also had to adjust to Luka having a ball in his hands or when he gets going and nobody can stop him the same way LeBron did in Cleveland. I think Kyrie has had to adjust to slowing down and being the off-ball guy who's waiting for the catch and shoot opportunities. And with Kyrie and with the two of them playing together, they've done everything that you could have asked them to do, really. I think all of the Mavericks' problems, again, I don't think they have to do with either of those two. Their numbers have been good together. They have, like I mentioned, they have continued to build this relationship where they seem interested and happy to be playing together. Kyrie finished the year on near 40-50-90 splits. And so I think everything that you could have asked him to do. He came in and did. He proved that he could adjust, that he could get groups to play with pace, but he also proved that he could play off ball with Luka or even take over when Luka's on the floor, which is something that Dallas just has not had next to Luka. There were nights where even Spencer Dinwiddie would – there were nights when Spencer Dinwiddie was that guy where Luka could kind of step off and Spencer Dinwiddie would pop off, but it wasn't to the degree that you can expect on a night-to-night basis with someone like Kyrie Irving. And so I think it's provide a little – he's provided a little bit of just like comfort in that area in terms of being able to have flexibility and draw things up for other guys or let Luka take a possession off, whatever the case may be, just more trust overall. But I think as they continue to grow together and have – one guy get subbed out and have one guy on the floor at all times running the same, running a group, and then them starting the games and finishing the games with both of them on the floor, just having more time to play together, I think will ultimately bode very well for them. I think they just need to finish or get the rest of that roster rounded out and kind of start building continuity from there, because this current formula that they've got is not going to be one that is ever going to provide them success.
You know, speaking of success, Lauren, again, last year the Mavericks played in the Western Conference Finals, and we saw Luka Doncic come of age in this series. We also saw Dorian Finney-Smith play well. We saw Spencer Dinwiddie, and we also saw someone that was a perfect number two, and that was point guard Jalen Brunson. We know what happened in the offseason with Jalen not getting the brand-new contract. He headed off to greener pastures playing for the New York Knicks. And now the Knicks are in the playoffs. And so Brunson was a great, in my opinion, I thought he was a great number two to Luka for someone that's very ball dominant and someone that has that type A personality. So Jalen goes away to New York in the offseason. And then Dorian Finney-Smith, solid shooter, a solid defender. And then we know what Spencer Dinwiddie was capable of. So you lose Jalen, and then Dorian and Spencer, a trade deadline. Do you think this is what led to the downward spiral towards the end of the season? So after you acquire Kyrie in the trade deadline, Dorian and Spencer are gone, and then before that, Jalen is no longer there. Do you think this is what led to the downward spiral of Dallas, especially towards the end of this season?
I think it's a good question. It's hard to pinpoint the downward spiral starting with Jalen Brunson. They definitely knew that going into the season, things were going to look different, because as much as Jalen was a perfect fit for being someone that can play off ball and be the number two, but also kind of take over at times and initiate things, and just had the trust of his teammates and of the coach and of Luka as well, he had all those things, but on top of that, he had the personality to welcome it all and take on everything that comes to doing all of the right things, but still just being the sidekick when all the lights are on Luka. He had the personality, the leadership, the maturity to take all of that on. And that is something that cannot be understated and something that may have been overlooked by Dallas before it was too late. I'm not quite sure how to pinpoint how they assessed or even evaluated all of those factors. But losing Jalen Brunson had a much greater impact than just his numbers walking out the door. With Dorian Finney-Smith, and I think most people would probably agree with this, that do follow the Mavericks very closely, Dorian has been the heart and soul of the team for many years now. That's how he carries himself. That's how he leads. That's how he impacts the guys around him, the staff, everybody. And so losing a guy like that, yeah, everyone talks about how he was one of the few defenders that they had, and that's true, but he was also the heart and soul of the team. And so to me, I don't want to pinpoint that as the downward spiral, because there was a lot of optimism with Kyrie, and there were some great moments with Kyrie this season. And I know that they were hoping that going post-trade deadline, they were going to go through a kind of quote-unquote easy stretch of the schedule, and hope that they could hit their stride with Kyrie and go hit the ground running from there. But when you lose someone like Dorian Finney-Smith, you're battling some injuries. It was just one thing after another, and that's kind of what their downward spiral was. I don't want to discredit Jalen Brunson, but I do feel like the downward spiral was truly losing the heart and soul of the team with Dorian Finney-Smith when they already were undergoing the impact, or just dealing with the impact of losing a Jalen Brunson, when you then have to, on top of that, lose a Dorian Finney-Smith, that's very difficult.
Yeah, it was very tough when that trade went down. I mean, Kyrie Irving, again, is a once-in-a-lifetime talent, but it was tough, you know, when Jalen leaving to go to New York, and then when you trade Dorian and Spencer, that's definitely a tough deal. But, you know, hopefully better and brighter days lie ahead for those gentlemen. And speaking of a gentleman, in the recent news, Luka Doncic, there's been reports. We know that it's been well documented that his frustration with management, with Mark Cuban, it's been evident in a lot of the post-game press conferences, and especially towards the end of the season where Luka has mentioned that he's been frustrated. But there's also been rumors about maybe a trade request at the end of 2024. Mm-hmm. Two-part question. Can you go more into detail about the frustration that he's felt recently and the rumors of trade requests maybe at in 2024?
Yeah. So I will say that with Luka, as much as people will like to talk about seeing him on the floor and seeing him throw his quote-unquote tantrums and his attitude, people have lots to say about that. But one thing that I have learned about Luka is that when it comes to serious matters and things that are big-picture items, he's not going to put those on display for the whole world. He's not going to go out and tweet or put on his Instagram story that he's unhappy or, you know, X, Y, or Z. I've never seen anything. I mean, he can always prove me wrong, but I have never seen him carry himself or say something publicly to lead someone to believe what's next in that regard. I have also heard, just in my time, just around certain things and certain people, I have heard people say that, okay, well, all of the times Luka gets up and says publicly, you know, I don't know where these are coming from. I didn't say anything. Those are not my words, blah, blah, blah. I have also heard those people say that everyone knows that there's internal pressure. Everyone knows that there is, that Luka is looking for upgrades, all of these things. And so I do believe that there's internal pressure. I do believe that the summer of 2024, which is the end of next season, as crazy as it sounds, I do believe all of those things are on the table because, I mean, he is where he is in his career. He is where he is in his current contract. And the Mavs are where they are as of today. And so I do want to say that I think the Mavs have opportunities to improve the roster, as crazy as that sounds. I know there's a lot of conversation right now going on about this draft situation, and if they keep their 10th overall pick, they could jump up, they could get bumped out of it. I think it's important to note that if they keep it, that's great. If they jump, even better. But even if they lose it, while that would suck, I've seen some people say that that is nightmare scenario, and Luka, if that happens, Luka is walking without a doubt. And I disagree with that. I think that if Dallas loses that pick, while yes, that would suck, they no longer then have any protections on 2024, which is, as of today, what would happen. The 2024 pick would then become the replacement pick if they keep their pick in this year's draft. And so if they don't keep their pick in this year's draft and they get bumped out, well, then now they have more picks to trade at this next trade deadline when all of their picks, with the exception of the ones around the Kyrie trade, they'll have multiple first-round picks available to trade. And so there's absolutely no reason why this year they can't get a deal done to try and significantly put them in a better position to compete for a title. And I think most people that are following the Mavs or that are looking at this situation are saying the Mavs have Luka. They believe that they will have Kyrie to start the season next year. What they are missing is a true five that can protect the rim, anchor a defense, and then just a couple, one or two, ideally two or three, veteran wing players that are switchable and can play defense. And those kinds of guys, when you have a Luka and a Kyrie, those kinds of guys you can go get. The same way they got Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday is a perfect example of that. You just need a couple more guys like that can fill the gaps. You need people to be healthy. And I feel confident that they would feel confident and contending with that roster. They just need to go out there and push their chips in and go get that big man. And I'm sorry, but JaVale McGee is not that guy.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of changes in the offseason with this team. And speaking of changes, we know that the owner of the team, Mark Cuban, we know about his history. We know about being very vocal about what he likes and what he doesn't like, whether it be with his franchise or the players or even things with the NBA. What's been Mark's situation like in dealing with Luka and his frustration and how the Luka and Kyrie situation ended towards the end of the season, and, of course, dealing with Jalen leaving in the offseason and the trade deadline? What's been the latest with him as you continue to cover the team?
Yeah, I think going into this offseason, I think there are going to be multiple conversations that ultimately are had, whether it be about the future with Jason Kidd, even though I firmly believe that he's not going anywhere. I think there will be conversations had about what the path forward is with Luka. I think there will be conversations that are had that include Luka. And I also think there will be conversations between him and Nico Harrison, him and Jason Kidd, maybe all of them together. I think there are going to be lots of conversations being had about what can we do to put this team in a position to be successful. And not even just what can we do, but how can we do it? I'm not talking, oh, yeah, we need a rim-protecting defensive anchor five. I'm talking about let's get a list going of guys that are reasonably attainable and the path forward that we could be going about to have them. And on top of that, when the new season starts or on draft night, those conversations pick up and conversations are started once again. And so I think that there are always deals that are talked about amongst front offices, and I think people know that Dallas are in a desperate position, which might ultimately result in them having to overpay to bring someone in trade-wise, or even they could be looking at other teams that also find themselves in desperate situations and go out and find that guy. I think there are plenty of situations worth monitoring around the league. Another thing that I want to add is that while the Mavs front office is getting a lot of slack right now, as they should, especially with this most recent blunder that has resulted in the start of the investigation into them intentionally tanking, the front Nico Harrison individually has, has proven that yes, you should have faith in him to go out there and to continue to put a roster together, because since he has entered the door, he has been nothing short of aggressive. And if you are a Mavs fan that has been following the former regime since 1980, that hasn't really ever done anything surprising. This new regime with Nico Harrison and what he has come in from the second he came in, and yeah, did they lose Jalen Brunson? Yes, but in my mind, based on everything that I've heard, that has more to do with Mark Cuban than it has to do with Nico Harrison. excuse me. And so with Nico Harrison individually, he went out, he made the Christian Wood trade, which for Dallas, that was a trade you make 10 times out of 10. He drafted Jaden Hardy, traded to get into the draft to then draft Jaden Hardy, which was a clear win pick for Dallas since day one. And that was that kind of move, trading into halfway into the second round, was a move that the previous regime never would have made. They would have said the draft is pretty much over, let's call it a night. Not Nico Harrison. Nico Harrison got back in there. He got in there. He got Jaden Hardy. And he has just continued to even pulling the trigger on a Kristaps Porzingis trade and moving on from that, and then going out and being aggressive once again and pulling the trigger on a Kyrie trade. He has been aggressive since day one, and I do have faith in him. I think he's a good guy to have on your side. To me, the biggest challenge is going to be Jason Kidd and Mark Cuban. How do you feel about the current group? Can everybody get on the same page about the areas that need improvement or not? And if not, then odds are you're probably going to lose Luka because you can't put a winning formula together. And like I said, in terms of roster construction, that is Nico Harrison's job. Mark Cuban has a big say in it, but I do think Nico is going to be able to at least try and put one more thing together to try and put this team in a position to compete. Will it be enough? Who knows? It'll ultimately be up to Luka to see if it's enough in the short term to stick a Band-Aid on things and keep him around, or if it's not even close and it's the last straw that sends him out the door.
All right, and then that segues into the next topic, the outlook going forward for Dallas next season. So there's a lot on the table going into this off season. We've got the Luka and Kyrie situation. We've got free agents. The draft is coming up. So I've got to ask you, first thing for as far as the outlook going forward for Dallas next season, the Kyrie situation, is there any way possible that they can lock him up in the long term or maybe have him around for one, maybe two more years? And you mentioned it earlier, but just going to kind of go a little bit more into detail about that. Also, as you mentioned, getting a better supporting cast around Luka and maybe a number two that can get around those, work with those type A personalities like a Luka and a Kyrie, as well as improving on the bench.
I do think that to keep Kyrie, I feel optimistic that they will keep him. I feel optimistic that they will keep him, especially given the current state of the Lakers. I do feel like things can always change, especially when we're talking about the Lakers. If they underperform, I think that opens up the Kyrie question once again. But they would have to make some serious roster adjustments once again just to bring in Kyrie. And that always comes with a big load of questions. Again, do you really want to sacrifice a bunch of guys that you have seen can fit the roster? Do you really want to sacrifice bringing in those guys, or do you want to keep running with this group instead of consolidating all of those guys for one player and going all in on a trio and banking on them staying healthy? Is that really what you want to do? And I think going on history's path, if you're trying to build a formula and you do think that going in all in on Kyrie is a good idea, you have AD's injury concerns. There are serious concerns about Kyrie staying consistently available looking at previous years. So for me, I do think that they're going to kind of stick with this group that they've got. I think they like them, and I do think that that's the right move for them, which then leaves Kyrie looking around at, okay, well, this situation right now, yeah, they've got a lot of work to do, but where else would I go? And I think he's always going to have suitors, but I do think right now the opportunity for him to get the most favorable contract in terms of money, but also stipulations from a player perspective, I do believe, and don't know this for sure, but this is my perception, I believe that he is over there saying the Mavs are in a desperate enough situation that they can't lose me. So in my contract negotiations, I do believe that I can get the most favorable contract. I think I can squeeze the most out of the Mavericks to stay here. And if it doesn't improve, then I can once again request a trade and move on. And from the Dallas side of things, I do think that that's your best case scenario. Even if he squeezes stuff out of you and it's an overly favorable contract for Kyrie Irving, I think that that's still your best bet, because worst case scenario, he leaves and you're back to square one. If he stays, you have to assume, again, based on the past, that he will ultimately request a trade. But even when that does come, we have also seen, based on history, that he still continues to net assets, whether it be a Dorian Finney-Smith, whether it be, you know, first-round draft picks. The conversations of a return package for Kyrie Irving is always more than nothing. And so for Dallas, you've got to operate under that assumption and kind of move forward going there. And priority number one needs to be retaining Kyrie, which is a big reason why I don't think Jason Kidd will be going anywhere.
All right. Again, I've asked a lot of questions and I've got lots of answers from those questions that you heard it from. She is Lauren Gunn, co-host of the Objective Basketball Podcast and also co-host of the Gunshot Podcast. Again, Lauren, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Just tell everybody what's going on over at the Objective Basketball Podcast as well as the Gunshot.
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. You know, I always love coming on here and chatting with you, and thank you for working with me with my schedule, because I know it's always a pain. You can follow me on social media on Twitter at TheLaurenGunn. That's G-U-N-N. I do co-host the Objective Basketball Podcast for SBPN Sports with S. Barahini. We cover every NBA team. We're currently looking at our the play-in and the playoff, our playoff predictions right now. We just finished recording that episode earlier today. So that will be up this week, and we are getting ready to dive into all things playoffs before eventually hitting the draft and then the offseason. So we've got lots of good stuff coming up for everybody. Come tune in. We do our best to talk about everything in the NBA, every team, every story. We always hit every storyline. So please come join the conversation. And yeah, we are always looking to chat.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as the Objective Basketball Podcast and the Gunshot on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheLaurenGunn. You can also come check us out of the Objective Basketball Podcast on all podcast platforms. We also have you can follow us and come subscribe on YouTube. We upload our pods on there as well, so you can have the visuals to them. We post them under the SDPN Sports account, so just look up SDPN Sports and you will find us there. And you can also follow the Gunshot Podcast on Twitter at the Gunshot, and come check out what we're talking about there.
Awesome. And you heard it from her. She is Lauren Gunn, co-host of the Objective Basketball Podcast and also co-host of the Gunshot Podcast, covering all things related to the NBA and, of course, the Dallas Mavericks. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here's Lawson. He'll fire to tie the game. No. Nealakina tried to save it. White to tie it. No. And the Bulls
go home. Let's go home. The Bulls win. The Bulls win. John Ho saved the Chicago. Beat, beat. What an exciting game. Hey, listen, on the real, exciting game.
Sure
exciting
was.
Game. These kids, hey, they could have folded. They could have folded. The biggest lead, Dallas had a 15-point lead. The Bulls could have folded. The guys could have rolled over. They didn't. Great effort by these young kids, man. What a fun game to call tonight.
The Dallas Mavericks officially eliminated from playing contention.
The Dallas Mavericks are an absolute mess. Let's say what it is, and I feel very bad saying that because I love me some Mark Cuban. And I respect the hell out of Nico Harrison, who I've known for years. It's an absolute mess.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the report. I don't know who. Somebody said that I was going to retract a trade. It was funny, you know, because I didn't know that was true. I didn't say it. I know. I know no sources said it. Yeah, I mean, that's normal.
Right.
I mean, some things got to change, you know, for sure. I mean, last year when we went to Western Conference Finals, we were having fun. You know, I always talk about the chemistry we had. It was great. But some things got to change for sure. We'll see about it. I don't want to talk to the media about it.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Lauren Gunn. Lauren is the co-host of the Objective Basketball and the Gunshot Podcast. Again, thanks to Lauren for appearing on the program and talking about what's currently going on with the Dallas Mavericks. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.